Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I would now like to call the Sussex County Board of Adjustment meeting to order. At this time, I'd like to ask everyone to please stand while we have the pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, and please be seated. Next, we'll have the approval of this evening's revised agenda. Are there any additions or corrections at this time, Madam Secretary?
Staff would note that the agenda was revised August 16, 2016 to include old business case numbers 11,800 and 11,811 and was revised August 17, 2016 to include old business case number 11,788 and it was revised August 30, 2016 to include the approval of minutes and finding of facts July 11, 2016. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other additions or corrections? Hearing none, Chair will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Mr. Rickard and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve this evening's revised agenda. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Next, we'll have the approval of our minutes and finding other facts of the July 11th, 2016 meeting.
I make a motion we move the approval of the minutes for July 11th and also the approval of the finding of facts for July the 11th.
Okay, do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Okay, again, I have a motion by Mr. Rickard and a second by Mr. Mills that we approve the minutes and the finding of the facts, again, of our July the 11th, 2016 meeting. Again, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the time and place for hearings before the Board of Adjustment. There are a number of public hearings this evening. And to proceed in an orderly fashion and ensure full participation by those present with an interest, hearings will be conducted subject to certain rules. All persons in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion and take directions from the chairman. Unruly or disorderly conduct will not be tolerated and may result in expulsion from the room. Sussex County, in its zoning and land use decisions, does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, handicap, disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias and stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by the board in its deliberations. Each application will be announced. The applicant will be asked to come forward and be sworn in. The applicant will then present the case, explain the request, and present any exhibits or testimony in support of the application. The burden is on the applicant to address the statutory factors for a variance or special use exception. Copies of those standards can be found at the table at the rear of the room for your convenience. The board may ask questions of the applicant and any of the witnesses. The board will then invite public comments. Supporters go first, followed by opponents. Please identify yourselves by name and place of residence for the record. All persons must be sworn in order to speak. Please be concise with your statements and avoid being repetitive. The board may ask questions of supporters or opponents. If you have questions for others, those questions must first be directed to the board, and the board may then direct the question to the appropriate individual. Once all testimony has been presented, the public hearing is closed, and the case will be voted upon or tabled for consideration at a future meeting. If you are here for a case listed under old business, please understand that no new testimony or evidence will be taken unless the record was held open at the previous hearing. All board matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open session. All persons present may stay throughout the evening to view deliberations at the end of the agenda or to call the board's office in the morning for the result. In addition, you may view all these proceedings live on the internet. If the board renders a decision this evening, please be advised that the decision will not be final until the written decision is approved by the board and filed with the board secretary. Any action taken prior to the filing of the written decision and expiration of any applicable appeal period is taken at the property owner's risk. For courtesy of those here this evening, if you have a cell phone or pager, we would request that you turn it off for the duration of the meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp. First case, please.
The first application is 11,828. Joseph A. Brady and Karen M. Brady seek variances from the front yard, side yard, and rear yard setbacks, sections 115-42B, 115-182D, and 115-185F of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is located on the west side of 2nd Street, approximately 391 feet south of Midway Drive in the Truval Acres subdivision. The 911 address is 615 2nd Street, Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is GR. The tax map is District 334, Map 13, Parcel 99.01. Specifically, they're asking for a 1.8-foot variance from the front, a 15.4-foot variance from the front for the deck and the steps, a 0.7-foot variance for the side, and a 0.4-foot variance for the rear. Received no letters in support, no letters in opposition, and two mail returns. Thank you.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. For the record, my name is Shannon Carmine Burton. I represent the applicants, Joseph and Karen Brady, who have applied for several variances this evening related to the existing home, the unenclosed deck in the front of the front of the home, as well as the existing shed. Although the applicants, Joseph and Karen Brady, are in attendance this evening, they are behind me. They recently purchased the property, and they unfortunately do not have any information surrounding the circumstances or related to the circumstances which have led to this application this evening. The previous owner, Norman Sanders Jr., resides in Reading, Pennsylvania. He was unable to attend the hearing this evening. As a result, I do have a sworn affidavit from Mr. Sanders setting forth the facts related to this application as far as he knows. The affidavit does include copies of the Sussex County Council printout, which evidences the fact that certificates of compliance were issued for all of the improvements that are located on the property, a copy of the survey of the property, as well as some photographs from Google Earth. And with your permission, I'd like to submit those into the record at this time.
If you would, please.
Thank you. Mr. Sanders' affidavit sets forth the following facts. Mr. Sanders and his wife, Ruth, purchased this property in November of 1981. The property is located at 615 2nd Street in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. On or about September 1st of 1987, he and his wife transferred title to the property to Mr. Sanders individually. In 1992, Mr. Sanders replaced an existing mobile home on the property with a new mobile home. A certificate of compliance was issued by Sussex County for the new home on July 15th of 1992, and that evidence of the certificate of compliance is attached as Exhibit A to the affidavit. In 1994, Mr. Sanders improved the property with a deck and a shed. Certificates of compliance were issued by Sussex County for those improvements as well on February 22nd of 1995, and again, that's attached as Exhibit A. On May 19th of 2016, Mr. Sanders entered into a contract to sell the property to the Bradys, the applicants. Prior to closing on the sale of the property, the Bradys engaged Cotton Engineering, LLC, in order to perform a boundary survey of the property. A copy of that survey is attached as Exhibit B to Mr. Sanders' affidavit. The survey was dated June 17th, 2016, and that survey revealed the following. We have the existing home, which encroaches into the 30-foot front yard setback by 1.8 feet, the unenclosed deck and stairs, which encroach into the 30-foot front yard setback by 15.4 feet, and the shed, which encroaches into the 5-foot side and rear yard setbacks by 0.7 feet and 0.4 feet, respectively. The existing home was placed in 1992, and again, the deck and shed were constructed in 1994. Per Mr. Sanders' affidavits, no other improvements have been made or no other modifications have been made to the property. Prior to the receipt of the survey, Mr. Sanders was unaware that any of the improvements that give rise to this application encroached into the setbacks. Upon learning of the encroachment, he, along with the Bradys, filed an application with the board to bring all of the improvements into compliance with the zoning code. Mr. Sanders' affidavit sets forth that he believes the property is unique as a result of its topography and physical conditions. And you can see it on the map. And you can also see a better view of it attached as Exhibit C. We have some photographs from Google Earth. The grass in the front yard and the driveway extend well into the right-of-way, which could reasonably cause an owner to believe that they owned more property in the front yard than they actually do. And you can see the driveway and even the walkway from the home extend into the right-of-way and it exceed the actual front property line. Exceptional practical difficulty is due to the uniqueness of the property, not due to circumstances or conditions that are generally caused or created generally created by the provisions of the zoning code. Rather, it's evident that the uniqueness of the property caused difficulty in accurately measuring the distance of the improvements from the front property line, as even the county believed the improvements were in compliance as well. And it's difficult to see there, but you can see on the photographs that attached as Exhibit C. And again, the improvements did receive a certificate of compliance from the county. There's no possibility at this juncture that the property can be developed in strict conformity with the zoning code. It would be necessary to remove a portion of the home, the deck, the stairs, the shed. All of these improvements, which have been in their current location since 1992 and 1994, respectively. As a result, variances are necessary for to enable the reasonable use of the property. Mr. Sanders did not create the exceptional practical difficulty, nor did the current owners, the Bradys. Again, it was Mr. Sanders' belief, as set forth in his affidavit, that until receipt of the survey, he reasonably believed that all improvements were placed in construction and constructed in compliance with the applicable zoning laws, which belief was supported by the issuance of the certificates of compliance. According to Mr. Sanders, variances will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood, nor substantially or permanently impair the appropriate use or development of adjacent property, nor will it be detrimental to the public welfare. Again, these improvements have been in their current locations for more than 20 years. Mr. Sanders does state in his affidavit that he never received any complaints about the locations of the improvements on the property. And we are seeking variances that are sufficient to bring all existing improvements into compliance with the zoning code and nothing more. So it's our opinion that the variances represent the minimum variances that will afford relief and represent the least modification possible of the regulations in issue. And for those reasons, based on the presentation this evening and the sworn affidavit of Mr. Sanders, the prior owner of the property, we do request that the board grant the variances. Of course, I'm available for any questions that you may have.
All right. Thank you. Then I'll start down here with Mr. Mills, if you have any questions.
No questions.
Okay. And Mr. Retzel?
No questions.
And Mr. Ritter?
Yes. You said the certificate of compliance was issued also for the shed?
Yes.
For the shed and the dwelling?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you had certificate of compliances in
for
1992 for both of them, right?
1992 and 1995.
95, I'm sorry. 95 for the shed, right?
I believe that's for the shed.
Yeah.
The deck and the shed got one in 94. Mm-hmm. Yeah, both of them did.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Burke?
No questions.
Oh, okay. Oh, this is for you. Okay, and I have no further questions. And Mr. Drupp, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? chair. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we approve case number 11828. The applicant certainly has gone through the criteria for variance and explained and exactly the uniqueness of the property and how this all came about with the selling of the property and also the dwelling and the shed were issued certificate of compliances in 92 and 94 and 95. And based on that, I believe the applicant has met all the standards, the criteria for a variance. So I make a motion we approve case number 11828.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Rickert and a second by Mr. Wharton that we approve case number 11828. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Mills?
Aye, for reasons stated.
Mr. Hudson?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Rickert?
Aye, for the reasons I stated.
Mr. Wharton?
Aye, for those reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Callaway, for the previous reason have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11828 is approved.